나저이단나그모는사랑나야야저이자그라나주마사기고
The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on March 12, 1982 in Calcutta, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 11, Text 8, and continues with the Vaishnava K, number 7 through 9.
Idam, this whole material world, Kala, Rasanam, is moving because of time eternal. Jagat, moving forward. This whole universe, Pasyanti, observe. Suraya, those who are intelligent, by admission of the truth. Na, not. Rishanti, become jubilant. Na, nor. Sochanti, lament. Tatra, in such. Yuyam, all of you demigods. Apanditaha, not very learned. Having forgotten that you are working under eternal time. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Seeing the movements of time, those who are cognizant of the real truth neither rejoice nor lament for different circumstances. Therefore, because you are jubilant due to your victory, you should be considered not very learned. Bali Maharaja knew that Indra, king of heaven, was extremely powerful, certainly more powerful than he himself. Nonetheless, Bali Maharaj challenged Indra by saying that Indra was not a very learned person. In Bhagavad Gita 2.11, Krishna rebuked Arjuna by saying, Asochan anavasochas twang pragyavadans cha bhashase gatasun agatasuns cha nanu sochanti panditaha. While speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Unquote. Thus, as Krishna challenged Arjuna by saying that he was not a pandita or a learned person, Bali Maharaja also challenged King Indra and his associates. In this material world, everything happens under the influence of time. Consequently, for a learned person who sees how things are taking place, there is no question of being sorry or happy because of the waves of material nature. After all, since we are being carried away by these waves, what is the meaning of being jubilant or morose? One who is fully conversant with the laws of nature is never jubilant or morose because of nature's activities. In Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Krishna advises that one be tolerant. Tang sthitikshashva bharata. Following this advice of Krishna's, one should not be morose or unhappy because of circumstantial changes. This is the symptom of a devotee. A devotee carries out his duty in Krishna consciousness and is never unhappy in awkward circumstances. He has full faith that in such circumstances, Krishna always protects his devotees. Therefore, a devotee never deviates from his prescribed duty of devotional service. The material qualities of jubilation and moroseness are present even in the demigods, who are very highly situated in the upper planetary system. Therefore, when one is undisturbed by the so-called favorable and unfavorable circumstances of this material world, he should be understood to be brahma-bhuta, or self-realized. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.54, brahma-bhuta-prasanātmāna-sochiti-nakāṅkṣati. One who is situated transcendentally at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. When one is undisturbed by material circumstances, he should be understood to be on the transcendental stage, above the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Thus, in the purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, here we see how Bali Maharaj, the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, although born in a family of demons, king of the demons, has got spiritual understanding as to the cause of suffering or enjoying in this material world. One time Srila Prabhupada was taking us to Mayapur with him in his car, and in the front of his car he used to keep a Krishna Balaram picture. And then he asked that there is Krishna and Balaram. He asked two questions actually. The first question he asked was, who is more powerful, Krishna or Balaram? Krishna's elder brother, Balaram, or Krishna himself? There was the picture with Balaram having his hand on Krishna's shoulder, standing there, Balaram being taller than Krishna. Anyone knows the answer? You already know. Anyone? Yeah, new bhakti. Krishna. Why? Yes. Balaram is holding all the planets, but Krishna is holding Balaram. Prabhupada used because Balaram is having his hand on Krishna's shoulder. But anyway, it's the fact that Krishna is the basis of Balaram. And then all of a sudden Srila Prabhupada leaned back and he said that in this world there is the good and the bad, and they're always fighting with each other. Sometimes the good overcomes, sometimes the bad overcomes. But Krishna and Balaram are aloof. They're neither on the side of the good or the bad. They are transcendental. And Krishna's devotees are also with Krishna Balaram. They are neither side. So, sometimes it appears that a devotee may be on the good side. This was also instructed by Srila Prabhupada, but actually the devotee is simply acting on behalf of Krishna. Neither piety nor impiety nor sinful activity are performed by the devotee. Two forbidden things are pap and punya. No one should do pious activity, no one should do sinful activity. So, Indra is fighting for his own elevation, fighting for maintaining his heavenly kingdom. So that is not very learned. So Bali Maharaj, of course, is superficially also fighting for a similar purpose, but he is adding a more philosophical touch from Krishna conscious philosophy, that ultimately Krishna is the supreme controller. So, how a devotee's mentality is situated is more important than what he is doing. Of course, there are certain things which we are restricted from doing because they will affect our mentality. But the most important thing is that we should have our consciousness properly situated. Everything is aimed at that. We avoid eating fish, meat, eggs, onion, garlic, taking intoxication, gambling, or having illicit sex, because these affect consciousness. They pollute the consciousness. Similarly, gossiping and various other things, they also pollute the consciousness. Therefore, we are advised how to act so that our consciousness may be directed to Krishna easily. Srila Prabhupada gave us the story of the wedding party and the boatman crossing the river and they're rowing, but the boat was always anchored on the one side. So they couldn't get anywhere. So where our consciousness is anchored, if it's anchored on the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga, then we'll be dragged to Krishna. If the consciousness is anchored in the mud of material life, then even we make the show of rowing back to Krishna, we won't make progress. It has been explained by our previous acharyas that why this chanting was not always effective in other ages. I mean, it's always effective, but why, especially in Kali Yuga, it's effective, is because in other ages, you see, along with chanting, one naturally commits some offenses. And so due to those offenses, the chanting effect is nullified. In this way, if one chants with an offensive name, he can chant for a million of births. He still won't go back to Krishna. But in this Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's so kind, he doesn't accept the offenses. That's why first, before we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we chant Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Panchatattva's name. Because by their mercy, all the offenses are nullified. That's why before we visit Vrindavan, we go to Mayapur. By going to Mayapur, one is forgiven for offenses and one can easily worship Vrindavan. However, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested not to commit Vaishnava Aparada. This is one Aparada that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot tolerate. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us such a facility, but he has requested us not to allow the weeds of devotional service to take over our heart. Because then, that real devotional creeper which is being watered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be smothered. And its growth will be stopped. So in this regard, we are reading from that poem that Prabhupada repeatedly quoted to us, called Dushtamon Tumi Kisher Vaishnav, evil or materialistic mind, what type of Vaishnav are you? This is by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we've completed the whole poem except for the 7th, 8th and 9th verses are remaining, and they just suit today for this particular sloka. Basically, just to give you a prelude, Bhakti Siddhanta is describing how one who leaves the association of the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go off and do some type of independent worship or activity, even if it appears to be in devotional service, is actually simply one who is hankering after his own false prestige, and he's doing so out of a false ego. He's describing basically that there are many evils which can attack our consciousness when we enter in the devotional path. He warns us against money and wealth, that even if we leave the association of devotees and put on a show of being a great, more advanced devotee, that our mind will still be attracted to women and wealth, sense gratification. So therefore, there's no use in doing such things. Hare Bol Jai Radha Govinda Jai Devaswara Balaram. Then he advises us that in desiring one's own prestige, we become just like a Ravana who is always envious of Rama and who was ultimately killed by Rama. He advises us that the real prestige is to be a Vaishnava, to be the servant of the servant. And for that we should be very careful. And if we don't worship Krishna in that mood to actually be established as simply the servant of the servant as a Vaishnava, then for all our worship we'll simply gain hell, known as Rorab. Then he advises us that someone who is suffering the misery of desiring his own personal aggrandizement becomes envious of the devotees of Krishna. And Therefore, he advises that we should never be proud or confident in our position of desiring our own position or our respect, because with it comes the disrespect of other Vaishnavas. He said, behind pure Vaishnavas, there is automatically a desire for achieving the highest position as a servant of the servant. And behind that desire, there is no materialistic tinge. And in that pure relationship with Krishna, there's not even the slightest touch of any material flavor. No cheating propensity is there. On the other hand, the materialistic desire to elevate oneself is just like a chandali, a witch, which catches us up in her net of desiring to be a separatist or to solitarily worship. So we should know that both of these, the desire for becoming a renowned devotee or the desire to go and become separate and simply worship as a great devotee, both of these are simply the different hellish existences of Maya. So that's the prelude. Verse number 7 is, Kirtana charivo pratishta makivo ki kaj turiya tadrishya gaurab madavendra puri bhavagore churi nakori lokabu sodai janav. So, Kirtana charivo, translation, to give up the Sankirtan movement, to accept, literally it's to anoint oneself with a desire for personal prestige, or to accept one's own attainment of some material position as the goal, will simply be a matter of great shame and regret. Madhavendra Puri, used to run away from the crowds of people to avoid his own prestige. If one falsely imitates him running away from the people for his prestige, then that is simply a cheating. Madhavendra Puri was sincere, and he was living out of the highest philosophical sentiments. So, in this regard, I'd just like to comment that the Sankirtan movement of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was spread by Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada all over the world, is a great science. And one cannot imitate great devotees who are eternal associates of the Lord, who have come down and participate in this Sankirtan movement. But they have to follow the system of Guru Parampara, take the instructions as was handed down to the disciplic succession, not imitate those exalted Vaishnavas, and neglect their instructions. Just as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he ordered Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he should always preach, develop Mayapur, distribute books, print books. He said, don't do any nirjana bhajana. Don't spoil everything by going off and solitarily doing worship. This was the last instruction that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Don't do solitary, separatist worship. So, similarly, the same instruction Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave, he also instructed that everyone should cooperate together and jointly under a governing body commission, the Gaudiya mission should be managed. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami in his Vyas Pujas offerings to Bhaktisiddhanta after his disappearance, he commented on the situation in the Gaudiya mission after he left, that instead of following Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's order to have a governing body and work in that way, they imitated and made again one acharya like he was one acharya. He said that by imitating we'll simply go to hell. By following his instructions we'll be glorious. So, we can see that Srila Prabhupada is following exactly in the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We should take up the Sankirtan movement. That is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the example of great acharyas in our line. And by doing so, real fame or real prestige or real position eternally will be given to that those devotees in the Sankirtan movement. But if someone instead leaves the Sankirtan, leaves the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, that means many together, joint preaching program, then that is simply out of a desire for his own prestige, out of some false ego, and that here is said to be a very poor imitation of Madhavendra Puri. One should not imitate Madhavendra Puri. Actually, one should follow in his footsteps, that he gave everything to satisfy the Lord. When the Lord told him that he should stay in Remuna, he took up that order and remained there. Finally, whatever the order of the Lord is, even if it seems to be distasteful in the beginning, we have to accept it. So, we shouldn't imitate the so-called the example of six Goswamis and Madhavendra Puri, because that imitation is not a real imitation. It is a superficial imitation. The six Goswamis wrote so many literatures for that whole future of this Gaudiya Vaishnava movement. They uncovered all the sacred places of Vrindavana. And if one simply imitates that they were living under a one tree every night and running through Vrindavana, that will be a very poor imitation. Neither can they do it properly, neither is it a real imitation, because is it a real following in their footsteps? Because they were expanding and preaching by their excavations in Vrindavan, by their writing Vaishnava literatures, by their worshipping Krishna on the absolute platform, they were purifying the whole world. And the example we have is that Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, who were still remaining when the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other literatures were completed, they ordered Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasa Acharya, Shamananda Pandit and others to take the books, leave Vrindavan and distribute them all over the then Vaishnav Jagat. Although they were liberated souls, eternal Parshadas come down to join the movement, they did not stay in Vrindavan, but Srinivasa Acharya and others, Narottam Das Thakur, they all took these literatures and went on book distribution party to Eastern India. This is the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even if one would like to stay in a solitary place, if it's not the desire of the Lord, one does not do it, but keeps on with the Sankirtan, with the preaching. Jai. So, the next verse, number 8, is Tuma Pratishtha Shukharer Bishtha Tarsaho Shamakabu Namanov Matsarata Vase Tumi Jora Rase Majecho Chariya Kirtana Shoshtab. So now, the mind is being addressed. Remember, this poem is to the mind. So, Tumar Pratishtha. So, mind, your importance is just like the stool of swine. And to be thinking in that way is not even on the platform of being a real human being. simply controlled by various shades of enviousness. You are now firmly under the control of material emotions. And you are now enjoying this illusion, having given up the real nectar of Sankirtan. End of the translation. So, in this regard, mind is chanchala, flickering. Mind can go anywhere if we don't control it. So even a devotee may be considering material influence thoughts, become on the mental platform, thinking of his own importance. I am an older devotee, why this more recently initiated devotee has been elevated to the higher position than I? Why he's the Sankirtan leader and not me? Why this, why that? In this way, on the mental platform, one may suddenly become under some type of illusion, some kind of false ego, and actually give up the real attitude of a Vaishnava just to take up the service. Instead of concentrating on the service, starts to be envious, starts to be resentful of other devotees. To the extreme degree, that type of rot in the heart can cause one to give up the Sankirtan, to give up the movement of Lord Chaitanya. And just out of false ego, to show that I'm a great devotee, they'll go on chanting, but do it in their own house, or do it in some private place, or do it even in the holy dham. But actually, it is all out of their own mental concoction. Rather than simply surrendering to the jagya, the sacrifice, of working together and spreading the Sankirtan movement, they have become influenced by their own mental desire for importance, prestige, or material sense gratification. I personally had experience in this regard, that the tendency is that one will not recognize a junior devotee even if a person has done some very, very important contribution to the Sankirtan movement. That tendency is there due to material contamination. When I was sent to India in 1970 by Srila Prabhupada, then we obtained a place for Prabhupada to come to. At that time, I think in 1970, there was already about 40 temples in the world or near about. And I was also assigned with the duty of inviting all of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers to come and meet him at the airport and a reception, that now one of the Gaudiya Sampradaya representatives had achieved the goal of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted. Naturally, in ISKCON we have an experience that if some devotee does nice preaching, we're all very happy about that and we like to congratulate that person. But in this case, I found that in the Gaudiya Math, when I was going around, everyone was avoiding saying that they would come. And I couldn't understand why. So one very senior devotee, one senior Maharaja in one Gaudiya Math, one of Prabhupada's sannyasi godbrothers, I requested him on the stairway where I met him that, will you please be coming and meeting your godbrother Prabhupada at the airport? He said, yes, I'll go. I'm very happy for his success. And then all of a sudden some Grihastha godbrother came up and said that, no, you cannot go. You cannot go and meet him at the airport. He said, why not? He has taken sannyas after you. You are senior sannyasi godbrother. He is your junior. How can you go and meet him who is your inferior by seniority? And he was so heavy that then that Maharaj said, all right, Thomas. He backed down. So, part of the difficulty in accepting Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada by some of his godbrothers may be
that he was a grihastha for a long time, and he took sannyas later than many of them. So they were thinking that sannyasi is all in all, and even a fully dedicated grihastha, they weren't giving that much credit. Although Prabhupada was writing, he was the editor of their newspaper, even as a grihastha, he was doing so much preaching. He had understood the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur from the beginning. But due to some type of material vision, actually, we take on sannyasi, we take on varnasram colors for preaching purpose. But we see each other as Vaishnavas. Externally we may follow some etiquette, but that etiquette is only so far as it's useful for preaching. That shouldn't cover our perception of any real Vaishnava. That's why Srila Prabhupada said that the cream will rise to the top automatically. That automatically devotees will become self-manifest in our movement. We may not know that in the future what devotee will manifest great qualities, great powers for preaching the Sankirtan movement. May not be one of the stalwarts we see today, maybe one junior devotee coming up, no doubt it will happen. So we have to have a broad vision. But someone who is overwhelmed by considerations of his own importance, naturally, there will be a danger of becoming envious if someone else succeeds to do some great Krishna seva. That was warned by Ramchandra when Hanuman was throwing big boulders, and by his side, was it a spider or a squirrel? A squirrel was throwing in small pebbles, and Hanuman said, "Get out of my way, you squirrel. Don't you see I'm doing a big service?" And then Ramchandra said, "No, don't become falsely proud. This squirrel is throwing in these small dust or pebbles up to his own capacity. That is also fully satisfying to me." Devotee should not consider his service to be bigger or smaller more than another devotee who may also be fully trying. Because the amount of service one is able to do is ultimately by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. That one is a devotee. That one somehow or another is honored by the opportunity to serve Krishna. That importance, that somehow or another I have been engaged in service, that one may feel. But to what extent the service was able to be performed, that we give that credit to, personally we give that credit to our Guru and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course the other Vaishnavas, they will give the credit to the devotee who has performed it. The devotee himself will give the credit to the Vaishnavas and Krishna. In this way, if one takes the proper attitude of devotional service and one is freed from all this type of matsarata, enviousness, the influences of tamagun, rajagun, sattvaguna. So, this mind is very devilish. Mind can just go anywhere. So we have to purify the mind. We have to again bring it back to the lotus feet of Krishna. Take out all type of resentment, all type of enviousness. If something even difficult happens to us, we take it to be the mercy of Krishna. If we are put into difficulty, that is also a test given to us by Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we are told by Srila Prabhupada, told all his devotees that in the morning he would every day do a purification of his mind. And that everyone should do the same purification. That is, taking a pair of shoes, one should beat the mind 108 times. And taking a broom, one should again beat the mind 108 times. To surrender at the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. Guru and Gauranga. So that, verse 8. Now verse 9. Thai tushtamo nirjana bhajan prachari cho chale khu jogi bhoye bhava. Prabhu sanatane parama jatane shikha dilo jaha chinto seir sab. So, my materialistic mind, in your desire for a solitary worship, you have begun to propagate falsely the glories of bogus yogis, of false transcendentalist or imitation transcendentalist. Our revered master Sanatana Prabhu gave instruction with great care. You should consider those instructions. very carefully. End of the translation. So the mind is being chastised for considering leaving the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for considering performing some type of separate or independent or solitary worship on the excuse of some higher purpose, higher consciousness. So on the excuse of this higher elevation, actually one is propagating false doctrines. Doctrines against the principles of the six Goswamis. Doctrines which are actually destroying the pure principles of pure devotional service. Although appearing to be some exalted philosophy, actually this solitary worship, giving up the preaching spirit, giving up the preaching mood, they are preaching anti-preaching. Therefore they are doing the greatest discredit to themselves and they are establishing false religious principles in society. So, Sanatan Goswami, the six Goswamis, they have given so many wonderful instructions. Just as we study the Brihad Bhagavatamrita or the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Upadeshamrita, these transcendental literatures instruct us that to make followers for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world is the result of full sense control, of transcendental consciousness. It is not a material activity. Rather, to leave the association of Vaishnavas, to imitate Haridas Thakur going into some cave and meditating, or imitate falsely Madhavendra Puri and avoid the Sankirtan preachers, thinking oneself to be aloof, or highly situated as a more advanced Vaishnava, as some Babaji or some special devotee. It's the greatest discredit to the six Goswami's teachings and the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the result we can see in the modern day Babajis, they're not able to maintain the prestige of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Often they are simply creating illegitimate children in the widows who are living in the holy dham. And in the meanwhile, while so much irreligiosity, so much atheism and materialism is covering the whole world, they're doing nothing to stop that. When Lord Chaitanya ordered us, ordered all the people who are under the culture of Bharat, Bharat Bhumite Manusha Janmo Hilo Jar Janmo Shartak Kori Koro Poro Pukar, that they should perfect their lives, become spiritually realized in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, and then help others. Where is that Poro Pukar? In this so-called solitary worship, Nirjana Bhajana. On the excuse of becoming more intimate with Krishna, more elevated with Krishna's pastimes, one is actually doing harm, doing violence to so many living entities who could be benefited by actually hearing who is Krishna, how to serve Krishna, what is their eternal relationship with Krishna. So this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is based upon this principle that we must work together to deliver the people who are suffering in this material world to their original Krishna consciousness. That is the highest service that we can do. Once we've done everything we can to deliver them to that consciousness, then only one is allowed to, in the last leg of life, take up some solitary worship. Otherwise not. Rather, one's full energy is to be aimed at spreading the Sankirtan movement. And in that Sankirtan movement, in that Sankirtan flow, just like the Ganges coming down from the spiritual world, flowing down to the ocean, everyone is swept away in its flood. And one can taste constantly the highest relishment of intimate association, intimate relationship with the Lord and His devotees. But this imitation of solitary worship, of so-called Nirjana Bhajana, one is not tasting that transcendental relationship with Krishna, rather one is separating oneself. This is against the teachings of the great authorities in the line of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Rather one should chant with so many people together this Hare Krishna Mahamantra.